And I did it in faith, and the guy said I should put a time limit to it because I think I'm being small-minded. But I think this morning I'll take this as a prophetic start, that we really trust the Lord for more people. So, yeah, that's what I'm asking the Lord for. Come on. Yes.
I think it's always so amazing for me when God is working in your own heart with certain things and talking to you about certain stuff, and then you get to a conference like that and he just, boom, he comes and confirms it through people up there. And about a week before 4:12, God just showed me, because I've been wrestling with it ever since, like a whole performance spirit and being saved out of it, and well, what is my purpose and what am I doing here? And he just came to me one day and he said, you know what? I never invented something like success and failure. It's one of the best strategies used by the enemy in today's society in the world. I just purely made you to be in my image. And it's never required any form of performance. It's never required that you do and aim to become something. It's merely just being and serving in the kingdom, and that is good enough. And it was such a good revelation for me. And the first opening day when Andrew spoke about the Greek mindset and how it came through and the strategy, it's almost like God just shifted the other half of the picture in place and showed me how the enemy uses strategy so wisely in today's society. And he was speaking about where we come from historically, for those who haven't been there, in terms of Greek thinking went out to colonize, and they invented like maths and science and art, and everyone was held up to become like that and to think like that. And we tried to figure out God in every aspect of our lives. And after my sister's death and everything else that I've been through in the past 3 years, I've stopped trying to understand, but I've also still had that part that seeking a purpose to understand that part. And even in that, I don't need to understand. I just need to be in his image. And that was so beautiful to me. And then on the last day, Baron came up and he had a prophetic word in the tongue. And while someone was praying to actually lay it out, I just felt like a hit in the Holy Spirit in my tummy. And I was just like, yo, the King is coming, the King is coming, the King is coming. And I kept on thinking, Jesus, the King is coming. And when I was young, I had this dream that this King is returning and my children are still going to be small. And he just came back to me. And I thought, Jesus, but yeah, Andrew's laying out the word and it's nothing like that. And then after that, Jonathan came up and all he spoke about was the King is coming. And your time is now. And everyone has been strategically positioned locally where they should be. And for us right now, it's here in South Africa. And for us right now, it's here in Melkbos. And I think it just stood out to me. Like, how am I going to adjust my life to keep on living with that thing, being aware that the King is coming in my daily, not getting back into the strategic, systematic way of life and being led by the Spirit.
Yeah, morning everyone. I really didn't want to go to 4:12. I try and shy away from everything that takes up my personal time. I'm very jealous with personal time. But Hannes kept on insisting, and then he convinced my wife, and married men, you know how that goes. So we ended up going... I lost, yes. And I ended up going to 4:12, and you are excited for it, but I think... Sometimes in Melkbos, we're very short-sighted because Melkbos is sort of a self-sufficient community. I mean, we go to Cape Town and we work, but we come back and we've got everything that we need. And very often that happens to our Christianity. We're like, this is it. Maybe Josh Jen is it. But what we saw was the church that they revealed in Revelation 7, verse 9. It said, every nation, tribe, and tongue will bow their knee. And I saw a great multitude. And one of the preacher said that we can see a glimpse of heaven, and I'm convinced we saw that at 4:12. So many people from so many different nationalities. We sang together in different languages. We had Denise dancing on the stage like, I won't mention that Denise danced on the stage. And it was just incredible to see a glimpse of heaven the way that it's going to be, and to see the kingdom the way that God sees the church. And I never thought I'd be the one to say this, but I'm going again next year, and I really encourage you guys to go. It really does change your perspective, and especially for the guys that, I have to take leave, or your own business, and you're thinking, if I don't work, I don't get paid like moi. It really is worth it. I always thought, Hannah says, it's the best leave you ever take. Wow, 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 wow. But it really is, and it really was. Cool.
That's cool. Yo, that is cool. Thanks, Elaine. And Gary.
Yeah. So thankful to hear that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so when Hannes asked me to share, I thought, man, the tree of life has been doing so much in me over this time, and how is this Greek mind going to try and explain what the tree of life has been doing? And so I'm going to give it my best shot. I've made these notes, and then I'm like, no, that's Greek mindset. Let's just see what what God does from it. And I think for me, it started before 4:12. I mean, 4:12 was even Chris Staples when he was here the previous week, last Sunday, with his message and his message on revival. And prior to that, God had been busy with me. I preached the week before on those words, "Here I am," which I just heard constantly coming out through 4:12. "Here I am, send me." And the conviction that those words meant, Lord, the answer is yes now. What's the question? I lay down my life for you. I'm your servant. And you think when you preach in it that you've got the revelation strong enough in your life at that point. And as 4:12 went on, I realized clearly I hadn't. Because Chris started talking about revival. And he spoke about it in a way that I've just not seen before. Because there may be some in here that are old enough to remember past full-on revivals, but there's many of us, including me, that's not old enough to remember that. And so my concept of revival was what I've read about, what I've heard about, and as Chris brought it, that there was just this fresh stirring and this hope and this faith. And I think we saw a glimpse of that last week as well, of real revival and God just breaking through. And so there was an excitement going into 4:12 for that. And then we had a pastor's or an elder's day on the previous day of 4:12. And one of the words that was brought, they spoke again about revival in terms of this huge amount of water behind a dam wall that was ready to just burst forth. But they had a picture of the wall being people. And all of these people kind of in the way, blocking the flow. And I was talking to one of the kind of 4:12 guys that was looking in, and I felt that word was for him, not for me. And I was just sort of sharing around that, thinking, no, I've got the revelation. And surely I can't be blocking this revival. And then there was one of the services, which was, again, this awesome time, worship in different languages, just the culture, seeing the picture of the church that's been spoke about. And then one of the ladies from Dunoon that we know very well, she got up and she started dancing on stage on her own. And instantly inside I felt, man, I've got to get up and start dancing with her. I've got to break something open here. And there was a stirring and we love her dearly. And just in this whole heart for all cultures, it's like I knew God was saying, get up and break something open. And I want to get up, but my feet don't. And then I start thinking, yeah, what am I going to look like? How am I going to dance? How's this going to go down? You remember Dan's word is like, dance, man of God, dance. And God's saying, dance, man of God. And I'm like, yeah, Lord. Instead of yes, yes, Lord, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? It's like, oh, Lord, I hear you talking, but everything inside wants, but everything inside doesn't. And I start realizing there's fear of man, there's pride. And that I am one of these people that's stood in the way in all of the pride and insecurities that's stopping that flow of revival. And so I just started repenting to God. You know, after that, I think Brad had got up and then Ant and different guys, and I'm like, oh, I missed the boat. And I started repenting, but in that moment, I felt, yeah, I'd really grieved God, and I'd really grieved what he wanted to do, and it was a deep conviction. And then we went into a time, everybody was on the floor, and it's like, more of God, less of me. And I'm going, yeah, Lord, yeah, more of you, less of me. And I really want to be in that place where I'm not going to block this flow. I want to be in that place where I can say, here I am, send me. And just to finish with this, there was definitely a call, and I think this morning we pray and Ruin and Ina out, and we've been ascending congregation, and there's a call and a stirring in terms of, send me, where do you want me to go? But part of the revelation that I got through 4:12 and on the church planters was that it's not necessarily about send me out there, but Lord, send me into Mount Boss. Send me where I'm put now. Give me the heart of a church planter, but give me the heart of a church planter to build here and to build kingdom here. And from that place, just God started to inspire and encourage and really give a heart for building his kingdom. And so for all of us, it doesn't matter if you're an elder, a leader, a deacon, home group leader, a saint, whatever you are, the call is the same. And it doesn't have to be send me out there. But Lord, here I am. Send me into Mount Boss. Come on.
That's cool. Oh, well done. That's excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Ah, that's so cool, man. And we celebrated it. I think I want us to thank the Lord for that just now. But I want to ask, I know there's many more of you who had individual encounters with the Lord. And I want to ask you, over the next couple of weeks, I want us to celebrate that. So I'm going to ask a couple of people to share stuff. So if you have something burning on your heart, please remember to come to one of the elders afterwards and just say, hey, I want something to share. But I want us to hear these things because it's profound. All right, so that's so cool. Just before the worship team can come up so long, we're going to bless the Lord. But just two more things. Also today happening, and we have perfect weather for that, is we have four baptisms that we're going to do today. Which is so cool. So we've got Clifford to, you can just wave your hand there, Clifford. Yeah, that's Clifford. And then Johan and Marlies. Johan is there. Marlies is somewhere. Johan and Marlies is at the back. And then also David, James's brother. We're going to baptize today. So it's beautiful. Just had a conversation with him in the week, and we realized that they haven't been baptized. And that I was like, so I had to repent to the Lord. I said, flip God, like, I know them for 8 months and I haven't asked a question. I'm so sorry. So, but yes. Sorry, God. I'm going to come sit down here. We just realized, man, there's no better time than now. There's really something significant regarding baptism, and we're going to celebrate that. So afterwards, we're going to go to the Carlitz's house. He's so into 412 now. He said, all of you are welcome. His fridge is our fridge. The swimming pool's annoying that there's a deep freeze in the garage if you want some stuff there. And no, I'm joking. That's a joke, all right? But so anybody after church, we're going to go then. We're going to baptize the four of them. We're trusting for a real significant time. If you want to come there, that'll be great. Then just lastly, on a practical note, last week, something else I forgot is, I hope there's no thunder again, but last week with Chris Staples being here, we wanted to take up an offering specifically for him to just bless him for coming over and ministering to us, and I forgot about that. And so I received this funny mail in the week that the office said they came in 600 rand for Chris Staples, and I was like, that's barely 40 pounds. So I said, no, I want us to really bless him more. So can I ask this morning, we're not going to send the boxes around because there's like no rows here, but at the back, we're gonna have the boxes there. And so any money that comes in this morning, we want to bless them with, just to say really thank you for coming to ministering to us. And how significant was last week though, right? Like, man, just this obedience to open up something in our congregation. It was years of prayer that happened last week. And so we just want to bless them financially. Yeah. So I want to ask this morning, we're going to have the boxes at the back. Please, if you remember, even now during worship, if you want to just put money in there, or else you can EFT it as well to the same account where we tithe, and you could just mark it as Chris Staples, and we'll make sure that the money gets to them. But we just want to bless them financially. Is that cool? Can we do that? So I want to ask you guys to give generously. I know I want to give, just sow into it, and I believe that we will reap harvest again. All right, I want more of that. So we're going to bless the Lord this morning. We're gonna worship together, and we have no words, but you guys will know the songs. And I wanna just as we, you guys can stand so long, just where we are. I want to invite you to the front, but there's no space. All right. But Lord, we just as we heard these stories. Cool. If you guys can quiet just your hearts, I know the chairs are moving, but all right. Lord, we really just want to thank you. Just as we heard some personal stories of what you've done at 412, God, we want to say, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We are so thankful, God. We are so thankful. And
I want to thank you for every encounter with you, God. Every moment that you just came and did something in our hearts, Lord. I know for me personally, just how you touched me, God. I want to say bless you, Jesus. And we pray, God, just as we're going to worship you and come to you, we really pray that it will be a sweet offering before your throne this morning. In the name of Jesus. So Shonae's going to lead us in a song, and I just want us to respond and really bless them.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. So on that day when my strength is
Shared that the King is coming. I just thought, I remember singing it and I just looked where it is, and it says there to open up wide, ancient gates be lifted or open up wide. And I was just thinking, are we as a people ready for the King who is coming? Because our hearts need to be ready for Him to come and do a work. As those who shared this morning, their hearts were touched. It's like there's that preparation that took place even this week, that the King is coming, and it's like a softening and a humbling of our hearts, and it's a challenge to us. Are you ready with your hearts to be open to the King? Because He is coming, and will you be ready for that time?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, let's just respond to that. I just also know, let's just sing this song, and I'm just going to say, Lord, it's our desire to honor You, Lord. Our desire, God.
So this is my desire to honor You. Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
Yes, Lord, just as we consider that the King is coming back, Lord, we don't want to be found as those who have split attentions, God. But we really want to commit this, Lord, and say, God, our hearts are Yours, Lord. We exist for You, Lord. And it's our desire to honor You, Lord.
Smile.
give your hearts afresh, Lord. And God, we pray as a Malkmus congregation, Lord, would you come and do it again in us, Lord? Would you come and do something new, Lord? Something, would you pour out your Spirit again on us, Lord? We desire, Lord, to be a church that is a sweet sight, Lord, in your eyes, Lord. We give you our hearts, Lord. We are yours, Lord. Just sing again, Lord, I give you my heart. We bless you, God. Now, can we just lift up a shout to the Lord this morning? God, we love you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, King Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You guys can find your seats and grab your seats again. We're going to most probably respond in worship again afterwards. All right. Cool. Yeah. There was just during the worship, there was encouragement from Mike. Just obviously there were a couple amongst us that you guys weren't at 412, and we hear these stories just of what the Lord has been doing, and I hope by now there's some desire in your heart that's, I wish I was there. And so I want to really stir you. For me, probably, and I mean, everything was significant. But for me, one of the most significant things this morning was Carlitz that said, "I never wanted to go, but now I'm going to go again next year." For me personally, that is like, wow, the Lord did something. All right, and I want to stir you guys again to really prioritize. We've got next year's dates already. It's the 25th to the 28th of September. Prioritize it, okay? But I want to stir you, okay? It is clear that the Lord is doing something in us, something big, all right? And this morning we're sending someone, but God is busy with us still. And I want to stir you, especially those of you who weren't at 412. I want to urge you, as soon as the teachings are online, I want to ask you guys, man, just get to it and listen to it. You can listen to it as audio, put it in the car, and then I want to ask you, get to those who were there and jump on the wheel, all right? Because God is busy working with us, and there are some, you're going to maybe feel a little bit behind at the moment, all right? I'm going to ask you, just do anything to get on the wheel with us, and that we can run together for the Lord, that no one gets left behind, and that we together can go on with what the Lord has for us. Is that cool? All right, so we just want to encourage you guys with that. But I'm going to welcome Kim this morning. He's going to share the word with us, and then we're going to take it from there. The floor is yours. You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever I want. That's ominous. So, morning, everybody. It's awesome to be here with you, and it's a wonderful occasion. So I'm going to start off by asking Ruan and Ina to come up, and then the elders can gather around them. As we pray for them, we're going to send them out. Yeah, you can stand. Yeah, stand at the bottom there, and then the elders can come. The elders of the congregation can come out, because I'm going to ask you to gather around them. Yeah, you can bring the kids out as well. Let your kids come out. Stand here with you. I'm getting nervous when I see phones coming out. You're recording what I'm going to say. Oh, your wives can come as well. Obviously, you're a team. You're one. So elders, wives, please don't be afraid. So whilst the guys are coming up, I just want to acknowledge and recognize and honor the work that Ruan and Ina have done in this congregation over the last few years. You know, we tend to overlook the amount of hours that they've spent interceding for you, praying for you, crying for you, crying about you, or crying because of what you've done to them. But at the end of the day, it's just helped shape their characters and position them now that we can send them to go and plant in Paul. So it's very exciting, you know, when we take of our best and we're able to send them out. Now, we're very excited about them going to Paul. It's been on the cards for a long time, but suddenly, and God works in suddenlies, he's opened this door for us to go to Paul, and they're going to go there truly blessed, because when they get there, they're going to start with 3 elders, 50 people, 3 congregations, and they're currently trying to decide which out of 10 locations they need to pick. 2 locations, I think. So they're really going to be blessed when they go in there. It's a fresh start, and they're really amped. And the lovely thing that I've noticed in Ruan and Inna over the last few weeks as I've been speaking to them, you can see that life, that light of God in their eyes. There's a spring in their step with their enthusiasm and their excitement as we're going to send them out here now. So we're going to pray for them and ask the elders just to pray for them. I know you guys have got a prophetic word for them. We're going to release that over you guys as well. And you guys can just participate in this as well. So who's going to pray? Ivan.
Father, your word says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Father, it's ascending. It's a privilege, God, just to have been working alongside this amazing family for the last few years, God. The work you've done through them, but into us, God. We can really say each of us, our hearts have been knitted, touched, challenged. But Father, more than that, we've seen more of you through them as a family, God. So Father, we want to bless them this morning, God. We want to bless them and we want to sow them into the kingdom of what you have. And as we sow, we know that we'll reap a harvest here, God. Father, thank you for the sowing that happens, that lives will be touched in that area, God. As we send them out of here, Father, we send our best, Father. They really are our best. So we thank you for them, God. We pray blessing. Why don't you stretch your hands to them right now? Just as a sign of faith, God. As they walk by faith, not by sight, to things that are unseen yet hoped for, God. So, Father, release. Release this morning, God. We bless them, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
So Lord, as a church, we want to send them out with your blessing. Lord, we recognize what you've spoken over them. Lord, we want to ask for clarity of heart and vision. That they would be builders that build according to the plumb line of your spirit. Amen. That they would be people, God, that carry your heart and father those as they are being fathered. Yes. So, Lord, we thank you again. Jesus, you're building your church. Amen. And you're the head of the church. Amen. And we celebrate this moment with them. Amen. And the whole church says, amen. 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 Can I pray?
So we all know planting a church is no joke, and it is very hard work. But what I felt for the Paul plant is that God will send you out to build the ark, and that he will send the people, because it was Noah's obedience and his faithfulness that drew the attention. And I pray in Jesus' name for the Paul plant, that it would be because of Ruan and Ina's faithfulness and their obedience to God that will draw the people. Lord, we pray for the manifestation of your spirit. Amen. In that church and through that plant, that it will impact community upon community upon community, Father, that it will draw people from near and far, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, Lord, to come and sit under the tree of life. And drink from the water that sets people free, that satisfies and gives freedom in Jesus' name.
When I prayed for you, I saw keys, and God will give you keys that will fit into every heart that needs to be opened. Keys into the hearts of the elders, even though you know them, and keys into new elders' hearts that you'll be appointing, keys into deacons' hearts, and keys into the lost. I really believe that you have keys into that community, into that culture. God will let you see it from his perspective. And I really sense God will anoint you that you'll see people with His love, with His patience, with His kindness, with His acceptance. I really sense God is going ahead of you, clearing the pathway, removing every rock, every stone, things that you've worried about. God says, stop worrying, Ina. I'll sort that out. Don't worry. I've got that in my hand. Little things. I'm not saying big things. Little things. Yeah. So God is going to really, and you thought you had hearts for people. God is going to take you to the next level in love and compassion, understanding, patience, like you have never thought you are able to do. But it's His anointing that breaks the yoke. And His anointing goes with you. And we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Ruan, you know, I wasn't going to say anything. And as I sat there and people prayed for you, I had the sense of the Lord Jesus standing in front of His Father, and that they had to make a decision to come to the earth or not. And I realized that leaving Melbos is not as easy as people actually think. It's a difficult place. There's a lot of relationships that's been knitted. And so it's a hard thing. And then going almost into the unknown and just having to trust God for what's going on there. And the scripture that came to me is Jesus saying, for the hope set before Him, He endured the cross. And it's almost like in that is everything is a compass. It means that the Lord Jesus knew that that was the Father's will. And this is the Father's will, what you're going to do. And because of that, the Father will be going with you, there where you're going. And because you're in His will and going where He wants you to be, the amazing thing is anointing will rest on your path ahead of you. And the wonderful thing with that is as you step in there, imagine just whenever because you're going to have the times that's going to be difficult, just imagine the Lord Jesus looking down at you. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your love. Thank you for taking this and doing it for me. And I think that is the awesome picture I just had for you guys, the Lord just being with you.
Yeah, I woke up early this morning, and I was praying for you guys specifically, and I asked God for like a word or a scripture or something, and then something popped in my mind, and I went, oh, it can't be that. That's just, how can this scripture pop into my mind, because everybody knows it? And I thought, like, I'd like something more obscure from scripture, but God didn't give me anything else, and this is what God gave me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I shall lack nothing. And then He goes on to say that that He'll be with you and that He will lead you. He will lead you wherever you go. And in that, God really just said to me, like, first of all, for you guys, that the Lord is your shepherd and you will lack nothing, and He will lead you. His Spirit will guide you. And it is His path that you are walking on. And then God came to me and said also to us, staying in Melbourne, that the Lord is our shepherd. And we will not lack anything. Even with them going, we will not lack anything. And it's because God's leading us and them.
Father, just thank you that you always make new, Lord. And you just spoke to me now that you're sending three young warriors. Their three children are being sent as three young warriors. And you're going to do a mighty, mighty work in them, Lord. The foundations that they've had from mom and dad, that will now come to the fore in where they're going now to their new area. Thank you, Lord, that you make new, Lord.
Lord, I just want to thank them for every tear that was cried in their lounge and where they heard us, Lord, and where they really helped us. God, I want to thank you guys for those moments. Every time you had to forgive me or us when we needed stuff, and just hours of importation into us. And God, we pray for moments like that again in Paul, but also for someone who they can relate to like that, Lord, where they can just, that they will not feel alone, God. I pray that they will not feel isolated, but there will be close friendships, even as it is with friends from the past, that they will just link again with quickly, God. And times together in your presence, Lord, we pray for that. And, you know, I just from us, I want to thank you for everyone that that was in your lounge, and you heard us when we battled and cared for us. I genuinely appreciate it.
Yeah, and this beat me to it. I just wanted to say thank you to both of you as well. Thank you for every prayer that you prayed that we don't know about, every coffee in love that you had, every encouragement into stirring us into the more, every battle that you went through, just the hearts of love that you guys have sowed into our lives, the unity that God had used you to bring amongst us as an eldership team as well, and the victory. And thank you, you're now doing what you've done once before, and you are uprooting you and your family, and thank you for doing it once before, and uprooting from where you was, from the people you knew, the people you loved, everything that was safe and secure, going into the unknown, coming into Mount Boss and being such a blessing in our lives. And I trust that over the time to come, you're going to get a lot more thank yous for what you're doing now.
I'd like to say thank you as well. Both of you are such unique gifts, and your uniqueness blesses us, and may you continue in being who God's called you to be. I don't want to spiritualize this, but I think you came with a vision to be in Melkbos for 20 years. That's a great gift for the people, and to pull up your roots and go again. But can I encourage you, go for another 20 years in Paul. Just put your roots deep down, be vulnerable, give your heart to the people that God's going to give you with all of who you are. You're going to be fruitful. Your uniqueness is going to move us forward as Josh, Jane, and as 412. So bless you guys.
Okay, we love you guys so much. And just like what's been shared, you know, this keys that God makes, he doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly what he's doing for you and your family. And it's a very specific thing that God's going to do through you. And he knows you've got the DNA to carry it out. And as you do it, as you walk with him, I just see so much joy. Not just for the two of you, but for your boys. I mean, that's kind of just highlighted. So we bless you. We love you. Speak on behalf of us ladies.
Awesome. So why don't we give them a big hand for their lives? We want to honor them. We love these guys, and we trust that they remain in God's will and his purposes. Awesome. Thank you, guys. So for the visitors, what's this all about? So, Ruan and Inna were leading this congregation in Melkbos, and an opportunity has come up for them to go and plant a new church, a new Josh Jane church in Paul. So today is their last day. They're officially their last day. So afterwards, we're going to get around them, fellowship with them, thank them for all that they've done. But it's also a wonderful occasion where we're going to pray in a new leadership couple, Hannes and Mariska. And this will be officially their first day of them coming in. And who loves going to weddings? Yeah, a lot of us do, a lot of us don't. But weddings are awesome, and I would like to just ask you to think of yourselves as being the bride that's going to be handed over to a new groom, to a new husband today. And Ruan was the father, and Inna the mother of this beautiful bride, which are you. So they know you guys intimately. They watched you grow up. They shaped your character. They prayed for you. They spoke into your lives. They had many a coffee sessions with you. And at times they even admonished you. And then, don't do this. Don't go there. Stay here. Do this. Don't. Whatever the case is. Just as a loving father would raise his daughter, so Ruan has treated you guys with a lot of love, a lot of compassion, and a lot of respect. And we honor him for that. We honor him and Inna for that. But now he's walking down the aisle as he just did, and he's leaving this beautiful bride, who are you, to a new groom, who is Hannes and Mariska. And in that, I've got a scripture which I need to share with you quickly, and it's out of Isaiah chapter 43:1-4. So bear with me as I read this to you. But now, Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, because I have ransomed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba as a ransom for your freedom. Others died that you might live. I traded their lives because you are precious to me. Now this is God talking about his bride. You are honored, and he says, and I love you. That's a wonderful piece of scripture out of Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4. And this is just a wonderful example of how much God loves each one of us and how he loves the bride of Christ. He never leaves us on our own. And there's 4 points that I'd like to share with you quickly. Firstly, he says, you are mine. And this talks about ownership. You are mine. And this is the Lord telling us that we do not need to be afraid. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Even though he's plucking and sending Ruan and Ina, he's putting somebody else. He says, okay, Hannes and Mariska are now going to be the guardians over you, my bride, my precious bride for this season. He knows us intimately. God knows us intimately. And as Ruan and Ina started getting to know you intimately, God knows us intimately. He knows how many hairs you've got on your head. For most of us, that's good. We still got hair there. I see there are a couple of blessed cops over here. Bald-headed guys. What hairs, Lord. But don't worry. He's got your name engraved on the palm of your hands. That's how much he loves and cares for you. He knows what causes us to laugh. He knows what causes us to cry. He knows everything about us. He knows every single thought that you're thinking. That's how much he loves us. In spite of who we are, I'm going to pull that one. Who did that during the conference? Turn to the person next to you and say this. In spite of who you are, God loves you. And in the same way, now this is important for you guys to know. And in the same way as I'm talking about how intimately and how passionately God loves you, he's now saying to Hannes and Mariska, I want you to love them the same way. I want you, Hannes and Mariska, to show the same love, the same compassion. Get to know them. Get to find out what makes them laugh. Be there and comfort them when they cry. Be there when they're going through tough times. Because I am there. And I need you to be my hands, my heart, my feet, and my mouth when people are going through good times or even bad times. You need to grow together and collectively with Hannes and Mariska, you are now going to move forward together. Believe me, even looking at who's here today, you're not going to remain seated here. This congregation is going to change. It's going to change in character. It's going to change in shape. And it's certainly going to change in numbers as God starts using Hannes and Mariska. And as we do this handover in a few minutes, we are transferring the responsibility and ownership over to Hannes and Mariska. We no longer belong to ourselves because, as you know, we all belong to Jesus. Jesus paid an enormous price for each one of us. And now he's saying to Hannes and Mariska, Hannes and Mariska, don't take this lightly. This is a big job. It's a massive responsibility as amongst the elders that are sitting here, and even for myself and Andrew, we have a massive responsibility in terms of hearing God's voice for each one of you and then shepherding you into the more of where God wants you. God does not want us to leave you where you are at the moment. He said, no, there's more. There's so much more for you guys, and it's our task to help you guys get there. The second point that he says in that scripture, he says, I will be with you. And that talks about protection. So he wants to protect you as well. And God assures us no matter what we're going through life, He's with us. Isn't that comforting? God, I'm going through hell at the moment. He says, don't worry. Follow me. I'm with you. God, I'm celebrating at the moment. That's awesome. I'm celebrating with you. He's always with us. And there will be times in your life that it feels like you're going through deep waters. But God says, it's okay, I'm with you. You know, we're talking about a wedding, and you hear these vows often mentioned as the groom looks to his bride as she's taking that veil off her face, and he says, okay, I need to declare to you a couple of things. And he says, I will hold you for better and for worse, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health. Now, I'd like you to remember that, because this is the vow which we need to make with Hannes and Mariska as well. And Hannes and Mariska is going to make it with you guys. It doesn't matter that you're going through a tough time. I'm going to be there for you. I'm not just going to turn my back on you and walk away from you. Through sickness and in health, for rich or for poor, Hannes and Mariska are going to be God's representatives of Him in your lives. And it reminds me of a time, Laureen and I, my beautiful wife sitting over here, we went through a tough time before we got saved. I said, you know, we were happily married for about 5 to 7 years. And then I became a very naughty guy. I mean, really, I lost the plot completely. And Laureen had every reason to divorce me for what I used to get up to. And I think for the next 25 years until we got saved, she put up with me. She had every opportunity to divorce me. She had every right reason biblically to divorce me. But she didn't. She hung in. And when we got saved, when we committed our lives to the Lord blessed our marriage and reconciled our relationship to one another. But the important point of why I use that as an illustration is she could have turned her back on me. She could have left me. She had every reason to leave me, but she hung in. And I want to appeal to you guys as well. You might think you have the right reason to leave this church, this congregation, during the tough times. And I'm saying to you, don't do that. Don't do it. You've got to give your heart to Hannes and to Mariska. In the good times, you know, the church is cooking. Look, we're having cookies and sweets and muffins and what have you. Yeah, it's a great church. But what when you hit that dry ground? When the soil is hard and you can't toil it? It's like, you're not seeing fruit, God. Where are you? We're praying to a brass ceiling or bronze ceiling. Where are you, God? You're not speaking to us. And everybody's like, The guys say, when I have had little rest, I haven't taken time off, I've had little sleep, then my personality, as Andrew says, becomes prickly. Don't become prickly when you're facing a dry season, no matter what the circumstances are. Remember, you've got to commit your hearts not only to the Lord, but to your new leadership couple as well. And they're going to be there in the good times. They're going to be there when your children celebrate success at school. They're going to be there when you have a baby. They're going to be there to grieve with you if you lose, God forbid, somebody that you dearly love. The third point, he says to Israel, you are precious to me. It talks about how much God values you. And they need to value you as much as well. When they look at you, each one of you, they look at you in the eyes. And they say, you know what? You are precious to me. I value you and I love you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you through the circumstances that you are facing at the moment. And we know that we are precious to God. How do we know that? He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Even whilst we were sinners, even though we never even knew Him, even though we had cursed God. And believe me, before we got saved, we cursed God. In fact, you listen to a lot of TV programs, movies, whatever, they curse God continuously. Jesus Christ. We do that in exaltation and worship, but they use it as a curse word. We did that as well before we got saved. Now we revere God Himself. But He says, even though you did that, I still love you. And the fact that you're in church today prove that you view the life and death of Jesus as very precious. And I thank you for that. We must always remember that Jesus is the only reason why we are here. It's not about the lead elder. It's not about the eldership team. It's not about this beautiful venue. It's not about me. It's not about Andrew. It's always and only about Jesus. And nothing is more valuable than the relationship that you're going to share with Hannes and Mariska. So I want to encourage you. You know, if you say, yeah, I get this, Kim, that we precious. God calls us precious. God says he's never going to leave us. And we have some value. We understand that. The only way you're really going to grow with Hannes and Mariska is in relationship. So don't be afraid to get to know them as they get to know you. I remember when we joined Edgemead, for the first 6 to 8 months, I don't think there was an evening where we sat at home and had a meal on our own. Virtually every evening there was a couple from the congregation that had us in their home for a meal. Why? Because they wanted to get to know us. They wanted to catch our hearts. They wanted to know what made us tick. And they gave themselves to us. And I'd like you to do the same thing. Even though sometimes there might be things that Hannes or Mariska might say or do, don't despise them. Don't harden your heart towards them. No, no. There's a reason why I did that. I mean, he's a young lighty this oak. In that, I want to ask you, they're human beings. They are fallible. They've got emotions. They've got feelings. And sometimes they will need a break. I know we just gave Ruan an innocent time off and they had a lack of sabbatical. These guys will need some time as well. So honor that. So I take Mondays off as my official Josh Jen day off. Lauren says I never take off. Why? Because people will phone me on Monday, like Mac. Hey, Kim, isn't it your day off today? I said, yes. He says, but anyway. So please honor and give them the time off. You see they're going to run hard. I know Hannes' heart, and I've watched him over the last few months. He doesn't know when to pull the handbrake up. So we're going to have to watch him and guard him and say, listen, Hannes, you've been running a little bit too hard, a little bit too long. You need a break. We're going to bless you with time off. The final thing that I'd like to share with you out of that scripture is God says, I love you. I love you. And love is one of the most misunderstood and overused words in our vocabulary today, isn't it? I love gangster movies. I love Steers or McDonald's. Or I just love surfing. But that's not what God talks about. Love is much more than a feeling. It's a decision. It's an act of your will. And today, I'm going to ask you in a moment to commit heart to love Hannes and Mariska as you love one another. And, I mean, and you all know that beautiful scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. You normally hear this read out at weddings. It's on all wedding cards when you want to bless somebody. It's 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to change it a little bit. So, and I want to use me as the word love. And I would like you to use yourself as the word love. So I'm going to say I, and that will mean you. I am patient and kind. And this is my love attitude towards Hannes and Mariska now. I am patient and I'm kind. I am not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I do not demand my own way. That's a hard one for guys in church. Because it's always about me, isn't it? As Andrew said, it's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. I am not irritable, and I keep no records of being wronged. I keep no records of being wronged. Remember that day you said that? Remember that time you stood up and you said something? The other day, Lorraine and I were in Edgemead. Jonathan Conrath was there, the evangelist. And he was preaching, and afterwards, after we ministered to a whole lot of people, one of the ladies that we had known for 7 years came to us in tears, sobbing her heart out. And she says, Kim, I need to repent. It's like, jeepers, why? She said, you said something to me 7 years ago, and I could never let it go until today. And she's walked around with us, you know, with this unforgiveness in your heart. Every single prayer that she made in the last 7 years didn't reach heaven because of unforgiveness in her heart. It was a small little thing, but God set her free that morning. I do not rejoice about injustice, but I rejoice whenever the truth wins out. I will never give up. I will never lose faith. I will always be hopeful, and I will endure through every circumstance. Can that be you? Can you try and emulate 1 Corinthians 13 love? Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the congregation, you guys, will be known for your love for one another. 1 John 3:18, the New Living Translation says this: Dear children, I speak to you now. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. I'm going to ask you guys, in God, to love your new lead elders. If you're able to love and live this way, your relationship will succeed, and we will see a wonderful sense of unity in this congregation and in this community. Can you imagine Malkpus talking about the love that they experienced in Joshua's generation, Malkpus? Now I'm going to speak to Hannes very quickly. One verse. And Paul spoke to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20. Says this, Timothy, but I'm going to say Hannes. God, what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. God, what God has entrusted you. I'm very excited for this congregation. We believe, and I'm speaking on behalf of Andrew and the elders who direct, the elders of Joshua generation, that God has huge plans for this congregation. So we're excited for the future. We're going to see a multiplication, not only in people, but in hearts, in gifting. And as you receive more of what God's got for you in His Spirit, we're going to see you guys go. And just as we're sending Ruan and Inna, we're going to see lots of you guys going as well into the nations, into the cities. We're going to go translocal to Muscle Bay, George, wherever it may be. So I'm going to ask your Lord to bless you. So Hannes and Mariska, can you guys come forward and ask the guys to come out again so we can pray for you? I did say we're going to break bread today, but the amount of people over here, I see there's going to be a shortage of bread and wine. Lord, can you multiply? It's a wonderful occasion. So we're going to put these guys into place now. We're going to pray for God's blessings. So Father, I want to thank you for Hannes and Mariska. We want, Lord, first and foremost, your Spirit to fall on them right now as the new leadership, eldership couple that's going to lead these precious people into where you want to take them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they'll be filled with your Spirit, that they will seek you first before anything. They will not lean on their own wisdom. They will not lean on their own strength, Lord, but in all things they will seek you and your kingdom first above all things, Lord. And you will guide them by your Spirit and in truth, Lord, that they will shepherd these people well, Lord, that they will understand your heart for these people, Lord. They'll look at every single person that's sitting here and those that you'll be adding with the same love that Jesus has for us as well, Lord. We pray, Lord, that their eyes will be open, their hearts will be open to receive more of what you want for this congregation, Lord. Lord, we're not praying for strategies. We're not praying for vision, Lord, but we're praying for more of you. Let your presence be found in this place. Let your presence be found in their lives. Let your presence be found in their home, Lord, that they minister to you, to the people, Lord. They'll be ministering from a well which they have dug, which represents Jesus Christ. So, Lord, come, bless them, Lord, and we want to set them into place as the eldership couple who will lead you, Lord. We know that you are the chief shepherd and they are under shepherds. But Lord, we're putting them into place now to shepherd this congregation in Jesus' precious name, Lord. Anoint them and bless them.
Father, we just want to thank you that your anointing is going to run down their beards, Father. Thick, thick oil, Father. Lord, that their words would penetrate hearts, that their words would heal hearts, that their words would give hearts vision and hope and purpose, Father. I pray their hands would drip with your anointing, Father. Lord, we pray that their footsteps would be so clearly directed by your Spirit. We worship you. I just sense the Lord saying, He will show you what to do, exactly what to do. And I agree, 250 is too little. I would even go for 500. But Lord, nothing is impossible for you. You are the God of the impossible. And it's not about numbers, God. It's about lives being transformed and discipled into your kingdom. Thank you, God. There are many disciple makers in this church that you've trained over many years, Father. And that you will release them through this couple as they lead and walk ahead in Jesus' name.
Oh, Lord, we thank you that you've called them in so in one way so different than us. But I pray, Father, right now even that something of what you have placed upon me for your church, Lord, would be imparted to Hannes and Mariska. Amen. Something of us as a couple would rest upon them that would aid them to run in their different way forward even better. So, Lord, we just pray for that. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you would raise them up to be the torchbearers that you've called them to be. Oh, Lord, I pray that when they are looked at, Lord, that you would grace people to see by the Spirit so that they might run with and follow hard in Jesus' name. So, Lord, make their hands skillful, make their hearts on fire, Lord, and may they run, Lord, in such a way that many can run with them in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So, by the way, I remember when Laureen and I joined Joshua Generation, the first day we were there, after Andrew had spoken to us, recognized that we were visitors, we were standing around, and then Chad came to us and said, "Are you guys in community yet?" And he was like, "What's a community?" Because that's for visitors, it's a small group. We never knew it's called a small group. And he says, "Like a life group." We said, "No, not yet." So he looked around, and he saw a young lady walking past, Cecilia Filmata. Some of you may know, at that stage, she was about 23 years old. And he said, "I want you to go and join her." She invited us into community that Monday night, and as a result of us joining that community is the reason why we're here at the moment. It wasn't Andrew's amazing preach, it was the love of that community. But I remember driving to that community that night, and I said, "Laureen, I'm not sure if this is going to work. I'm 47, and she's 23. I mean, what does she know?" And she shepherded us, she trained us, she groomed us, she taught us the love of Joshua Generation, the DNA of Joshua Generation. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be where we are at the moment. So for the older guys, I want to appeal to you. I know most of you guys will extend grace, you will extend love. Understand that the anointing is not from man, it's not from me, it's not from Andrew, it's not from any other elder, but it's from God. God equips those that he calls. And just as Paul put Timothy in place, some scholars say when Timothy started leading, he was 15 years old, very young, much younger than him. And you can see the remarkable things that Timothy did when he was put into place to lead churches. So please, don't look at age. Age is not a disqualification. In fact, we are very excited as a church to see many young leaders being put in position at the moment because they are the next generation. And I don't mind one day his children, I will come to him and say, sir, please, with my walking stick, a couple of years' time, false teeth, whatever, sir, please, can I go? And they'll say, no, I'm, as your elder, I think you should stay. Yes, sir. So we honor these guys. And we love them. We're very excited. Why don't we give them a hand? It's got a word, y'all, I want to release quickly.
Yeah, I just felt this was for the church. Most of those, I don't know if everybody knows about the silent sermon. But, you know, while we were just going through this process, I just felt that that was kind of relevant through with regards to Hannes. And the silent sermon, I'm going to try and shorten it, is basically a pastor goes to one of the church members that haven't been at church for a while. And he goes and he knocks on his door and the guy opens the door and he walks in. Nobody says anything to anybody. He goes and there's a nice big fire that's burning. And they both sit on the couch and the pastor gets up and he goes to the fire. And he takes the tongs and he removes one of the logs that are busy burning. And he takes the log and he puts it aside. And he goes and he sits down again. And after a while, they continue to both watch the fire and all the logs that are together. They're all burning. But the log that's been taken out and put on his own starts to burn out. And eventually, after a while, that log becomes just a coal and it's got no fire left. And I just felt that after a while that they kept on watching and the pastor went back to that log that had been removed from the other logs that were burning. And he placed that dead log that had lost its life, that had lost its fire, that lost its burning and the power of what it was meant to do. He took it back and he put it back into the fire. And it caught a light again. And I just felt that that's maybe a word that as Ruan's leaving, and I'm not saying you're going to be the dead call, but I just feel that there may be some of us that haven't bought into Hannes taking over. Don't be that log that's going to be pushed aside because you're going to burn out. This is a church that's alive. It's got passion. There's word. There's love. There's spirit. There's everything that's here. Nothing's going to change. God is here. He's the same God that he was yesterday and he is today. And that same person, that same God is going to come across through Hannes. So don't be that log. Don't burn up. Don't get placed on the side. Because God says where there's unity, there's a blessing. So let's get together. Let's get behind Hannes and his wife. Let's find that unity. Because where there's unity, there's strength. And where there's strength, God commands a blessing. So let's not lose the sight of that.
Well done. So for Hannes, Mariska, Ruan, and Nina, just to let you guys know that we're 100% behind these guys. We're there to support them, to keep them on the straight and narrow. We are there to love them and to guide them. We're only as far away as a telephone call, and we and to continue loving these guys and honoring them and supporting them no matter where they are at any point in time. And you guys can take comfort in that as well. We'll keep them under check.
Thanks, Kimmy. Cool. Ne? Oh. Let's do that. Yeah. Cool. Yes, Lord. So I'm going to invite Ruan and Ina to share something just as they go. Awesome to bless us. I'll share whatever they want to share. And then we'll finish. And then we're going to eat.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrible, saying goodbye. Luckily, it's not far. And I do expect to have lots of visitors. The mountains also beautiful, man. It's not just the ocean. Mm-hmm. This was very difficult for me to decide what to say. I think it's the conference has me exhausted. So I, for the first time in forever, I had a loss of words. And I just felt to say, obviously, thank you. And to say that I've learned so much in these 3 years. It felt like a degree course, a very difficult degree course. I want a wiki. But that being said, is I learned something about friendship from you guys that, there was stuff about family that I learned in Wellington, which is really good, but there's something about friendship that you have taught me that is invaluable, that I will forever take with me. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that. And also here I learned how to love quickly. And I'm taking that in my bag for Paul. And now everyone thinks I'm going home, but there's a difference between Paul and Wellington. Wellington's Wellington, Paul is Paul. So I'm going to give myself to love quickly there. And then my most favorite thing that I learned here was to swim in the ocean. I know. It's phenomenal. And I'm very happy about that. And I am very aware of my own inabilities. And the only thing that really, really helped me in this season was my team. And I want all the eldest ladies, including Sean, to please come to the front. Quick. Kom, ons is honger. My kinders is al besig om te... I bought you something. It was such a difficult thing, and this is spray, and you don't have to like it. It's just about the boxy. Okay. And the little box says, smile carefree. And that is my gift to you and to say thank you a gift for you for the next season is that you will smile carefree. And the scripture that I felt for you was the one that said the scares of the world drowned out the little seed. And my heart for you is that will not be you. You will be smiling in this new season and you will be carefree. Also, I was thinking, Lorna. And Leanne, Lorna, come. What? Okay. You are also part of me. And I will give Leanne, she's close by.
Yeah, as they get that, guys, I'm sorry. I was the gift for you. Go on such a vain note. Yeah, I think as I look out, it's just been a real blessing to have had the opportunity to be with you. Grant was mentioning, we really did come with the thought that we would stay way longer. Although we had a history in Malkos that we saw that they didn't necessarily stay longer, but we broke through the 2 year barrier. We just got to almost 3 years, eh? But I want to say thank you to that you've received us well. As a congregation, you received us so well. You received the boys. You loved us. You laughed at my corny jokes. And you know, those are little things that you think don't mean much, but it gives one a place of belonging. And if there's something that the world needs and desires, is a place of belonging. And so I want to thank you for that you loved with God's love in that way. To the eldership team, it was clear, and as I look back, that God wanted us to be like Jesus, and He gave us to one another. And is He not so wise? You need to know that Wellington was a highlight in my life, and Malkos is a definitive highlight in my life. And we had different seasons. The church is aware at times we were wrestling one another, but the wrestle became a dance. And I am so thankful for that. We're going back, and I think there are some things that we've learned that we don't know yet, but as we go to Paul, that we, this we learned. And so every couple, especially on the eldership, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for committing, and in a sense, as we heard this morning, staying true to the, can we say, the vow of being committed to one another. And enduring, and especially the last bit, not because we heard we're going, but because we saw God do a thing that no man could have done. To the congregation, we said a while ago, we had an elders weekend away, and we were and we all are witnesses to what God can do, and the unity and the beauty that He brings, and the value of that. So I want to thank you for that. And you know, Paul, at the end of one of his seasons, he came to a place. They went out of the city, and then he spoke to the disciples, and he came to the point in Acts 20, from verse 35 to 38, and I'll paraphrase, but he reminds them of Jesus' words, and he says, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And then they fall on one another's shoulders and they cry as they send him on. And but there's this thing of the beauty of it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as a congregation, you know that. You're practicing that. And may God really come in our midst. And we'll probably hear the stories over the mountain. I get every now and again some messages on Sunday's feedback of what's happening in the church, and we will be looking at what God is doing and hearing from you. And I want to end with this prayer, just as we trust God together, and it's in Ephesians. As we pray for this, and Father, I want to pray, agree with this prayer that Paul prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you, each saint in Melkbosch Strand, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That your eyes, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened, and that you may know what is that hope to which He called you. What are those riches of His glorious inheritance in every saint around you and in our midst? What is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward you who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, has put all things under Him and gave Him as head over all things to the church. And so, Lord, may this be such a deep experience for every single one here. Eyes enlightened, knowing the hope, knowing the power that is at work, Lord. And as we, in some way, see one another at gatherings or as we come and visit or so, Lord, may we see what You have done. May we see what Your Spirit has done, Lord, that You are busy building Your church. And I thank You, Lord, that You gave us the privilege to be part here. We bless You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love You. We bless You. And then just for Hannes and Mariska, something small to remind you. Those of you know I work a little bit with leather on the sideline. And that you would remember that you're covered. God's got your back. And enjoy it. Bless you.
Great. Thank you so much, Rowan. I really appreciate it. Yeah, man. We're excited. We believe that it's a good thing that the Lord is doing in us together in Paul, And we're really excited for the journey ahead. I think it's going to be amazing. So, yeah, Nelifi. Cool. Great. Guys, I just want to thank you so much for bearing with us with the kiddies this morning. I think it's wonderful. Really, I want to try and see how often we can have the kids with us in church. There's something significant for me with that. So thank you for bearing with us with that. We're going to celebrate together this morning and have fun together. So I know there's pancakes, there's lots of sweets. If I can ask the parents, this is where we're going to have to help the kids as well to be gracious to us that we can get some as well. So if you can just help your kids contain themselves a little bit, that'll be amazing. And then there is communion in the front. Unfortunately, I just want to say, there's communion on that side as well. Great. Cool. I want to ask, if you want to celebrate that it was with us this morning, and we just trust God for unity, I want to invite you to come have communion with us. But we're going to break from here. So there's communion. You can have snacks together. We're going to fellowship. So I want to ask you to not rush away. Let's celebrate. Let's hang out with Ron and Ina. Yes, the baptism will be at Carlitz's house. That is 8 Strathplan, if I'm correct. 18 Strathplan Way. And can we aim for 11:30? Is that cool? So we're going to aim to be there at 11:30. Come and celebrate the death and the resurrection of those guys with us. That's going to be amazing. And I want to remind you just of the tithe boxes at the back. If you want to sow into Chris and Carol Staples, I want to remind you of that. Otherwise, EFT. And great. And then we'll see you guys next week. And we trust that it will be incredible together. All right. Amen. Go for it. Thank you, guys.